What a week, huh? This last week has been a very unique and different time in the life of our nation. Yes, I was alive during the Vietnam War, but I wasn't at a point in my life where I could understand the divisiveness that that brought about. And so really, this last week has been about the most divisive I have seen our country in my recollections. There are people that are absolutely ecstatic and happy, and they're going to thrive with number 45, you know? And then there are people that are unbelievably upset, disappointed, angry, very, very angry at what has happened, you know? And so in times like this, I need a touchstone. In times like this, I need something to hold on to. Because, you know, I'm a pretty good debater. I could debate for and against both sides. And there's always exceptions to every rule. Isn't that right? And so you could say, well, what about this? And somebody would say, yeah, but what about this? And what about this? But what about this? And I really need something to hold on to, something eternal in times like this. I wore a different ring today. I'm not a big jewelry guy. I have two rings. Since I'm not married, I don't have a wedding ring anymore. But I have my Aggie ring that I wear a lot of times. And I have this ring. And it is a ring that has a coin in it, a Alexander the Great coin. Alexander the Great conquered the whole known world and died at the age of 33. And this ring, when I wear it, it reminds me that no matter what happens in this world, that this world is not forever. No matter how good things are, whether I think I've conquered the whole world, that's not going to last. Or no matter how bad I may feel like things are, that's not going to last either. You see, and you can debate on whether the judgment has already happened for him or whether it will happen someday for him, but I am absolutely convinced that Alexander the Great, who conquered the whole world, has either already or will someday stand before our Lord and give an account of his life. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. That in the midst of all this stuff that's swirling around us, how do we as Christian people respond? How do we follow what the Bible says about times like these and do the things that will please our Lord? If you have your Bibles, we're going to look at Romans, the 13th chapter. Romans, the 13th chapter this morning. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority that which God has established except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against that God, what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you, for he is God's servant to you to do good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not wear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an angel of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants. You give their full time, who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. But then notice what he says next. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandments there may be, are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Okay. How can we, in the midst of these crazy times, be what God wants us to be? Well, number one, even though there's conflict, and even though you may not agree with all that the government is doing, you may not agree with the leadership, you may have agreed with it the last 4 years, and you don't now, you may have not agreed with it the last 8 years or whatever, and you do now, doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make any difference. We are citizens of two kingdoms, and if we are to be right in the heavenly kingdom, we must also be right in our earthly kingdom. And if we are to be a subject of Jesus Christ, we must also subject ourselves to earthly and worldly authorities. So number one, in this text, Paul details, he gives us the details about God and government. Number one, he says that government is of divine origin. Look at verse 1. There is no authority that God, that except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. So like them, don't like them, they've been established by God. And then he defines the purposes of government. And what are the purposes? Well, here again, the purposes are to do good. Look at verse 4. For he is God's servant to do you good. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, my elected officials don't do me good. We're going to get there in a minute, okay? We're going to get there in a minute. But the fact of the matter is that government has been established by God. It has a authority from God. It is there to do us good, and it is there to restrain evil. It is there to restrain evil. Look at verse 4 again. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an angel of wrath, an agent of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. So, government has been established by God. Government is there to do good. Government is there to restrain evil. And even though our government is far from perfect, I think we could all sit there and say, well, you know what? Our government does do good, and our government does restrain evil. Now, you may say it does other things too. But where would we be without our laws? Where would we be without our courts? Where would we be without our governmental agencies? Where would people be without governmental agencies that do good for them, those that are in need? And so you can make good arguments that our government does good and it restrains evil. So what are the duties, though, of the Christian? Because we know our government's not perfect, and we certainly don't agree with everything that goes on all the time. You know, there are several listed for us. But the first thing is that when we can, if at all possible, unless it goes against our following our Lord Jesus Christ, then we are to submit to the authority of the state. We are to submit to the authority of the state. And you know what, people? You know what people are mad about? People are mad about leadership. They're mad about authority. We talked about this last week in your staff meeting. You know? And what I told the staff, I said, I was told a long time ago that if you are a leader and you do not lead, then some people will not respect you because you're not taking the mantle that was given to you. But if you do lead in our world today, some people will resent you. It's a tough spot to be in. Why? Because we are, in our DNA in the United States today, we are suspicious of authority figures. We just don't trust them. And why? Because so many, we can give so many examples of so many that have not been good leaders. And so we don't trust them. Leadership's a tough place today. You know, I'm not saying, here again, there were people that did not like our former president. There were people that loved our former president. There are people that winked and laughed and said, you know, if this other guy gets elected, I'm leaving the country. And everybody had a big laugh until he got elected. They're not laughing anymore, right? They're not laughing. And why are they not laughing? They're not laughing because they made a joke and it was funny and everybody laughed and all that. And now they look foolish. And let me tell you something. Nothing makes people angrier than when they look foolish. Nobody. Nothing. Have you been made look foolish before? How'd it feel? Yeah. Man, I hate it. I hate it. You know? My kids would probably say, well, Dad, you must go around feeling pretty bad all the time, you know? But you know, the fact of the matter is that we don't like to feel like we were made foolish. And it's hard. It's hard. Like I said, it's amazing to me in our country when we have a general election, if somebody wins by a landslide, they've won by 51% of the vote. Isn't that something? If it's a landslide, that means that 49% of the people disagree with you most of the time. Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing? Because we all know everybody ought to think like us, right? Amen, right? Yeah, because we got it all figured out. I mean, you know, I used to have a sign in my office. Well, it really wasn't in my office. I had an inner office because I didn't want the people in the church to see it. They would have thought it was a little arrogant. But I had this sign in the inner office that only my staff came into and people. And it said, I would love to agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong. And that's what I'd say to my staff sometimes. I'd love to agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong. You know. But most of us feel that way, don't we? Most of us feel like we're right. We're right. They're wrong. You know. But it's hard to know sometimes. It's hard to know. It's hard to know. And so as a Christian, what are our duties? What are our duties as Christians? Very simply, unless we cannot follow Jesus Christ and do this, then we are to submit to the authority of the state. You hear that? We are to submit to the authority of the state. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. 1 Peter 2:13 says it like this. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as to the supreme authority. You know, Paul and Peter didn't agree on a lot, but they agreed on that. And so, unless you just can't, because of you following Jesus Christ, you submit to the authority of the government. Number two, then there's reasons why. Why are there reasons? Well, God established that authority. Verse 1, we've already read it three times. So why submit to yourself to that authority? God established that authority. Number two, for your own good. Look at verse 3 again. He says, if I can find it, for rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and they will commend you. So, number one, it's been established by God. Number two, it's for your own good. Number three, is to maintain a clear conscience. Verse 5 says that when you do this, you will keep a clear conscience. And number four, to maintain a testimony. And we just read about that. 1 Peter 2:13 talks about that, so that we can keep a good testimony in the community and in the country. So, Christians should submit to the authority of the state. Number two, Christians should support the needs of the state. You know what that means? That means pay your taxes. You know, we have people on the left that are, they're saying, well, we've got to have more taxes. You know, we have people on the right say, I don't want to pay any taxes. You know, whatever. But let me tell you, you're supposed to pay your taxes. And I had this youth minister once. He's a great guy. He was a great guy. But he worried me. And I'll tell you why. Because he would do his own taxes. And he always got back this great big bonus, you know. And I said, how do you do that, man? And he said, well, I just do my own taxes. I'll do it that way. Well, anyway, one time he got behind. And I said, look, I've got a person that really understands ministers. Ministers' taxes are very, very complicated. Because a minister, even though he's employed by a church, he's considered independent. He's considered not an employee, okay? And so it's really complicated stuff. And you get some write-offs and things like that. And I was for taking advantage of all the legal things, so I had an accountant that did my taxes. Well, one day this guy was late, and I said, why don't you get my accountant and do your taxes? And he did, and he said, man, I'm never doing that again. And I said, why is that? He said, I didn't get back the money I get back when I do it myself. And I said, yeah, that worries me. That worries me. Because, you see, she was doing it right. She was doing it legally. Whether you like it or not, guys, to be a good Christian citizen, you need to pay your taxes. You need to do that and support the government through your taxes. Look at verses 6 and 7. This is also why you pay taxes. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Wow! He's quit preaching, gone to meddling now, hadn't he? He's gone to meddling now. I'll pay my taxes, because if I don't, then they're going to throw me in jail. But respect? I'm sorry. Respect, I don't know. Honor, oh man, I'm sorry. I want to tell you something. If you're going to be the Christian God has called you to be, if somebody is in authority position, you are to give them honor, you're to give them respect. Whether you agree with them or not. You know, how many people in your life do you agree with 100% of the time? I'll bet if you put into the room somebody that you agreed with 100% of the time, or they agreed with you 100% of the time, it'd be a pretty lonely room. And so God gives us clear guidelines here. As Christian citizens, we should support the needs of the state by paying our taxes. Christians should also sustain a strong prayer life. Now, that's not here in our text here today. I think it's a given. But in 1 Timothy 2:1-2, it says, I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. He didn't say that kings would be godly and holy. He said we are to pray for kings and those in authority. Pray for kings and those in authority. Here again, I'm telling you, there are people that had no problem praying for our former president that are going to have a really hard time praying for this one. There are folks that had a really hard time praying for him that are not going to have trouble praying for this one. But you know what? If you're going to be the Christian God wants you to be, you will pray for your new president. And you will pray for the cabinet. You will pray for all of them. I saw something the other day. I was reading. You know, I'm always reading stuff. And, And I don't know if you saw it, but Tom Hanks said this. And I thought to myself, what a good attitude. He said, if and here again, I'm not saying I agree with him or disagree with him, except in the last part. But he said, wow, some of us are looking up and wondering what happened. But he said, you know what? I hope that our new president does such a great job that I'll be forced to vote for him next time. Wow. What a thought, huh? That you want somebody to succeed so much, that you want them to do so well, that you'd be forced to support them. And if we really love the United States of America, if we love our country, then we want our country to do well. We want it to be governed well. I don't know if you're like me. I'm not a real teary guy. You know, I don't cry very much. But I'm telling you, I watched some of that stuff the night before the inauguration and the patriotic music and the fireworks going off and man, a lump came in my throat. That stuff touches me. I never wore a uniform, and it touches me. And so we're to pray for those that are in authority. We're to pray for the mayor of Plano and the city council and everybody that is in a position of authority. You see, because by doing that, Christians can have an impact on their country by what they do. We can have an impact on our country by what we do. Because the Bible says we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. And that has no limitations to it. That doesn't say, you know, you can be salt in this area, but you know, when it comes to politics or when it comes to the country at large, or you're not really salt or you're not really light. No, it doesn't say that. Says that we can be salt and light wherever we are, and we can make a difference. But I'm so glad. You know, this is the normal break right here in this text. This is the normal break, and they would teach you in seminary. Stop there. That's the end of that thought. The next one is a new thought. But you see, I believe that when Paul was writing this letter to the Romans, there's a reason he said what he said next. He's saying, yeah, submit yourself to the authority of the government, and yes, pray for those, and yes, do all those things, but listen to what I'm going to say next. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. How can you be a good Christian citizen? Yes, respect the government. Yes, honor the authorities. Yes, pray for them. But love your fellow man. Love your fellow man. Look at what he says here. He says, don't do the things that are going to hurt people. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not covet. And whatever other commandment there may be, summed up in this one rule, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know what I found out a long time ago? It's not my job to judge people. It's not my job to judge people. It's my job to love people. God's going to judge them one day. He's the only one that has the authority. He's the only one that has the right. I don't have the right. And you know what really bothers me about some of our political, you know, discussion these days is you agree with me or you're an idiot. What does that basically say? I'm judging you. I'm judging you. I'm judging you. And you see, I believe that we're called to love each other. I don't agree with everything that goes on And if I said truths, sometimes I guarantee you, some people in our society would say, "Well, you're a racist, or you're a bigot, or you're a this, or you're a that." But you know what? I would challenge any of them to find anybody in my personal life that would say, "Dal's that," because the people that know me know I'm not. So it's not our place to judge. It's our place to love. Now, love doesn't mean always agreeing, okay? It doesn't mean always agreeing. I don't know if I've used this illustration or not, but I have a homosexual friend, and he knows that I don't agree with his lifestyle, but we still go to lunch on a pretty regular basis. I don't think that the way he has chosen to live his life is God's perfect will for him, or for mankind, for that matter. But it's not for me to judge him. It's for me to love him. It's for me to love him. And you know, he got mad at me one time, and I'm telling you, and did I tell you all this about the Black Eyed Pea story? Did I tell you all this? Man, we're in the Black Eyed Pea restaurant in San Antonio, Texas, right next to the medical center, and it's the only time in my whole life I've ever been shouted out and dressed down in front of a whole restaurant full of people. I mean, man, he laid into me thick. I'm sitting there going, "Wow." Okay. Well, 2 weeks later, he had a massive heart attack, and he was placed in ICU. It wasn't my job to be mad at him. It wasn't my job to judge him. It was just my job to love him. And so I went to the ICU, and I saw him, and I prayed with him. I went from being, you know, Satan's brother to one of the greatest guys in the world, you know. Neither one is true, by the way. You know, someplace in between, you know. But you see, it's not my place to judge him. It's my place to love him. It's not our place to judge people. It's our place to love people. And if you want to be the person God wants you to be in the midst of all of this junk that's flying around and all of the animosity and the anger and the bitterness and the ugliness and all of that other stuff, then you remember this: love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. And you know what? Everybody, whether they're on your side of that political line or not, every person that you come in contact with is your neighbor. And so you love them, and you don't judge them, and you don't belittle them, and you don't talk bad about them, and you take the high road. Isn't that what God has called us? Isn't that what Jesus wants us to do when we follow him, is always take the high road? That's right. Now, some people tell you that, you know, you got to get down in the dirt and really, really, you know, smash people to be, you know, a crusader for Christ. I don't believe that. Jesus didn't do that. And neither should we. And I always used to try to figure out how my sermons would be received, because, you know, when you preach someplace a long, long time, they get pretty used to hearing you, you know. And I could always tell when I preached a sermon where I was really hard on sin and I was stomping on people's toes and blood was running down the aisles, that our older people would really think that was preaching. Man, that's preaching, brother. That's preaching. And the young people would go, "Eh, I don't know about that, you know." And then when I would preach on God's love and God's grace and God's forgiveness and love your neighbor no matter what, our older folks go, "Yeah, well, maybe so, you know. And the younger people say, "Yeah, I like that, Pastor." Now, those are generalizations. Understand, they don't always fit. But I want to tell you something. I don't know if you're like me, but I need stuff like this. I need the Scripture. I need the eternal Word of God to lash myself to as a stone, as a safe harbor in the midst of the storm. Because I'm not immune, and I read stuff, and sometimes I read stuff that I disagree with, and it makes me mad, and I want to lash out, and I want to say this, and I want to do that. And guess what? That stuff goes away when I realize, Dal, it's not your place to judge. It's your place to love. So will you follow the example of the Scripture? Take a deep breath. Thank you, Lord. It's not my job to judge. It's my job to love. Help me. Help me to love people. Whether I agree with them or not, help me to show the love of Christ to all that I come in contact with. Help me to be salt in this world. Help me to be light in this world. Help me to be the person you've called me to be.